living in Seoul and you do not have a home church, we welcome you to Seoul Union. Join with us each week. And so we're just grateful that you're here again. We'll have some lunch time together after the service, and interested to get to know you if you're a first-time guest or you've just recently been coming. One thing that Edie shared as well that I thought was really, really significant is the joy in the, what did she say, the interruptions? The joy, what was it, Carolyn? Was that right? Joy in the unexpected. And isn't that part of life, right? And I just thought that's an interesting perspective, just to have that, that joyfulness. In fact, that's been kind of our focus, where we started last week in this series. And we're going to continue to move in that way in the series that we're calling Running on Empty. The title today is Stopping to Refuel. Stopping to refuel really doesn't bring, I don't think, very positive connotations, particularly when we see it in the context of a gas pump. I was thinking about that as I was making preparation for this week, and I know that here in Korea, in fact, ever since I've been here, I think there's only been two times where I've actually pumped my own gas. We don't do that here. We go in, it's all taken care of for us. And, of course, I drive a scooter, so it doesn't take very long to fill up that scooter gas tank. But someone does it for me, and I just stand there, and they're so polite, it's great. But if you have had this experience in the United States, for example, you know that it's hard to find a place where anybody will pump your gas for you anymore. It's called full-service stations, and I know this really, really well because all through my growing up years, my dad had a service garage, and we had gas pumps for a long time. And as a young boy, I would go out there, and we used to string, many of you might not remember this, but some of you will, I know that, don't hide behind your age. We would string these tubes out across the front part of the lot, and when cars would pull in to get gas, they would run over these tubes and it would cause the bells to go off inside. Ding, 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 right? So I'd go out there and I was the one to come out there and I'd fill up the car with gas and I'd clean the windows and we'd check the oil and we'd check the air pressure. Who does that anymore? No one. And no, I never got tipped either. I'm not bitter. I'm still dealing with it. So maybe sometimes stopping to refuel doesn't always bring in these positive thoughts. And I was thinking about that, and I thought it was kind of interesting. I wanted to share a couple things with you about that, because when you're busy, even stopping for gas takes too long. I don't have time for this. And maybe if you're like me, and I'm sure that you're not, you've challenged that needle because I just don't have time to stop. I know it's empty. I know the light is on. I just don't have time to stop. But even when you're busy, it seems like it just can't get filled fast enough. But on the other hand, the money that you pay for it goes quickly. And then when you're using your credit card to pay for the gas, which of course you do because otherwise you'd actually have to take more of your time to go inside and pay, and that you just can't afford that time. So we pay at the pump, we have the credit card, we put it in there, and yet it's like the pump is even telling us to just slow down. We're gonna make you slow down here. And of course, that adds to our frustration about the time that we're spending, because we're busy. But I mean, you have to do all this stuff with your credit card when you're trying to pay at the pump. You have to input all of these answers to these questions that the pump is asking you, right? Please insert card. Okay, and then it gives you that next one. Right? Remove quickly. That one, I'm like, what is it going to blow up? I mean, how quickly is quickly? That's relative. You know, like, I mean, seriously, how many of you have ever experienced that? Insert card. Remove quickly. Okay, well, what's going to happen? That always gets me, right? I'm always afraid of that one. And then enter your PIN. Right? That's not all, because now you have to enter your zip code. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? You've gone through this experience. It's frustrating. Right? You just want to get gas. Can I just get gas and leave? No, I got to keep asking questions. Would you like a car wash today? Yeah. You know? Would you like to order some pizza? Would you like pepperoni on that? Yeah. Would you like a receipt? I think that's the last one. Right? Can I just pump the gas and get on my way? But then, you try to top it off. Here's the thing. You try to top it off, and you, of course, want to stop the price at an exact number. I know you know what I'm talking about. I can see it in your face, right? But it's almost as if the pump is programmed to go some random amount over that nice round number. I think it's a conspiracy because they know that some of you are OCD and you're going to have a really hard time with that and you're going to keep trying and they're going to just keep putting more of your money, right? It's like you just, oh, $30.03. Oh, like at least $30.05, oh, $30.07. You got to keep trying to get that nice round number. It's a challenge, and then your frustration grows because we're busy. We just got to get going. We don't have time for that. If you want to be vibrant in your relationship with God, if you want to draw close to Him, if you want an intimacy that your heart longs for, if you want to experience the freedom and the fullness that comes from being a follower of Jesus, we have to learn how to top off. We have to learn how to get full or to be full of Him. It's actually the prayer and the challenge that the Apostle Paul has for us when we read his letter to the church in Ephesus. It's the same encouragement that I have for each of us today. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, you can see it says this: may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That you would be filled with the fullness of Him, that you would be topped off when you go in for refueling. The word filled, this is really interesting, the word filled in the Greek, which is what the original New Testament was written in, is used here as a continuous verb. You may have heard of a habitual verb. It's a continuous verb. It means being filled. It's not a one-time filling. It's like our faith that continues to be active and alive. It's a living faith, and we've talked about that before, but it's a process of being filled. It's an ongoing, a continuous filling. It's being filled. The word actually means to be filled, to be filled, to be filled, to be filled. It's a constant refueling. Why? Why would there be this constant refueling? Because we need to be filled. Because we have a constant need to be filled. Some of us here today may know this to be true. If we are not filled on a regular basis, and for some, it has to be on a daily basis, we just feel off. We feel different. Maybe if we're not filled daily, we feel empty with just one day missing the refueling. The sad thing is that other people notice the difference in our lives, maybe even more than we notice the difference in our lives. Other people who are going through life with me and can see my fuel gauge, my spiritual fuel gauge, know when I'm empty because my emptiness affects them. My emptiness affects others, and so does yours. What if we made a list? What if we did some self-reflection? What do things actually start to look like when we're running on empty? Maybe you can identify with some of this. We become selfish with our time. When we're spiritually empty, we're selfish. Or maybe I should say we're more selfish. We're impatient, which is a real challenge when we get stuck in traffic here in Seoul. We become so impatient, and when we're at that point of running on empty and we're so impatient, everybody else on the road is an idiot except us. We're the only ones who drive right. When we're empty, we lack compassion for others who are hurting. When we're empty, our judgment is distorted. We don't make good decisions. We've looked at that before. When we're empty, we're more quickly enticed by temptations. We're more vulnerable. When we begin to think that when we're empty, we're more deserving than others. We have a right. We're entitled to more. We become less patient when we're spiritually empty. We become increasingly more cynical. We become more critical in our thinking. We become more critical of others. Our insecurities become more prevalent when we're running on empty. We allow other things to fill up what only God intended himself to fill. Some of you, like me, might know a look of spiritual emptiness in life, and it's not a pretty sight. Does any of this sound familiar to you? Does any of this resonate in your own spirit? Do you know what empty looks like for you? Have you been running on your spiritual tank for so long that it's been on fumes and you don't recognize anymore what that looks like? You don't recognize anymore the taste of what that emptiness is like? If you had the choice between running on empty and being full, which one would you choose? That sounds like a really random question because you would think that the choice is obvious. However, our text makes me think that we do have a choice. But then why is it that we choose to run on empty for so long? We challenge the needle and the light has been on. If I could show you today how not to run on empty, if I could show you how to live your life the way that you would be always topped off, would you be interested in that? Would you be interested in running on full? I want to take you on a little journey through three specific scripture references this morning. But before we get to the how, I want to pause so that we can focus on the why. Why do I need to be refueled? And my contention would be on a daily basis. Why would we have to go to that pump for refueling? Something must change. Emptiness isn't working for me. Something last week must have connected with many of you because you said some very gracious things to me. You sent me some very kind notes, and I appreciate that, and I thank you for that. Some of you told me that was just what I needed. Busyness is not working for me. Emptiness is not working for me. Busyness, we can identify with that. Busyness, it causes us to be tired of being tired. Busyness is not netting us or returning to us what we had hoped for or what we thought we were going to get. Something must change. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah 6:16 says this, "This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." Read this passage when you have some more time. Meditate on this. Really think about it. Jeremiah 6:16, "You will find rest for your souls. Ask where the good path is, then walk in it, and you will find rest." You might be at a crossroads this morning. There might be more than just a few here today who are at a crossroad in life. You're seeking some kind of relief. There's this gnawing sense inside of your soul. It's within your gut, and you don't want to keep going at the pace that you've been living. You know that there has to be some satisfaction for that. Last week I told you that busyness has a price. It cripples relationship. Busyness fills our calendars, but fractures our families. Busyness props us up, or our image. It sets it up, but it shrinks our own hearts. Busyness feeds our ego, but it starves our soul. Instead of running on empty, take the advice of Scripture. Find the good way. Walk in it and take your rest. It's rest for your soul. That's what you're longing for. You're ready for a change. You're ready for something else. Something better. Let's think back to last week for a moment. If there was one phrase that I asked you to remember, would you remember what that was? If there's one phrase, just shout it out. If you remember what the one phrase that I really wanted you to go out the door with, what was it? Only a few words. It's all you have to remember, just a few words. Something busy is not better. Choosing better is better. Whew. Busy isn't better. Choosing better is better. Something's got to change. And that's what we're going to look at. I need to refuel because I have a soul that wants to be filled. Maybe you haven't given much thought to the fact that you have a soul, but that may be too much of a generalization. Reality is, we give a lot more thought to our body. We might give some thought to our mind, but it's more likely that we did not give much thought at all to our soul. Track with me for a minute. When our bodies are empty, what do? We fill them up with food, nourishment, we eat. When our minds are empty, we can fill our minds up through study or reading or taking something in that stimulates our intellect. Or we can just watch Oprah, I suppose. We're basically always filling our mind with something. And if we really break it down, we're filling it either, if we want to go really simplistic, we either fill it with something that's good or we fill it with something that's not good. But what do you do when your soul is empty? What do you do when your soul is reaching out for nourishment? I may be wrong, but it may be that we don't give much consideration to this part of our being, our spiritual being. What is a soul? It's that invisible part of us that we can't necessarily see. It's that invisible part of us that really makes the essence of who we are. The soul is that eternal part of us. It's the part of us that is made to connect with God. Our soul is what makes us different than all other creation. It's the real you. It's what's deep down inside you. That's why Jesus made such a big deal about our soul. He wanted people to understand that our soul is more important than our stuff. And we have a lot of stuff, but sometimes we don't have a lot of soul. Except you're Barry and Carolyn, because they got soul. If you've ever, no, that's a different kind of soul. Your soul is more important than your activity. Your soul is more important than your career. Your soul is the most important thing because it's eternal. How do you value your soul? Matthew 16:26 says this: how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul in the process? Is anything worth more than your soul? Some here might be so busy trying to gain the world or your share of it, or you're trying to forge your little fiefdom, that you don't even realize that in the process of all of that, you're losing your soul. The image that comes to mind when I think about this is a scale. Think about a scale as two sides, and on the one side, let's say in this picture, we put all of our stuff. Let's put all of our stuff on this one side. It's all of those things that you would view as a benefit, those things that you've been able to accumulate or collect. It's your car, it's your house, it's your bank account, it's your job, it's your title. Whatever that stuff is, it's on that one side of the scale, and that would be pretty heavy. It's all that stuff over here, but what if you put your soul on the other side of the scale? Which side would outweigh the other? Would it be the stuff, or would it be your soul? In our humanity, what our rational mind would say is that it's all that stuff. We have all this stuff. That's our most valuable stuff. It's right there. It's all our stuff. Yeah, we think about it. It is our soul that's the more valuable. In God's divine measuring system, He's concerned about our soul. And all of our stuff loses. Our soul weighs more. It's the bigger deal. It's far and away our most valuable possession. How do we know that? Because Jesus paid the price for it. He gave all for it. You think about it. We go through life trying to fill our homes and our bodies and our calendars and our bank accounts. But do we give that much attention to our soul? Well, maybe once a week we come to church. We think that that's going to counterbalance all the stuff. It's why perhaps if you're here and you're seeking for relationship with Christ, or at least curious about what relationship with Christ is all about, there's a reason. It's your soul is reaching out to find nourishment and fulfillment and answers. Your soul knows that there's something more than just this physical moment. There's something more to life than just this present moment that we know on this earth. There's something drawing us to a deeper spiritual place. And the key that I want us all to understand this morning with this point is that we're not physical beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We're not physical beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We're having a temporary physical experience and have a soul that cries out to be filled. Our soul is eternal. I always do this, I don't know why, because I always tell you every time, I'm not good at this PowerPoint, sorry. I think we passed that. I even did this, you guys don't know this, but I put a little monitor down here just so I didn't have to do this, but I'm so now behind. See, there's, just come through that. How about if we catch up? There we go. I'm glad we're full of grace. Thirdly, my soul filling is an investment in eternity. If I take the time to refuel my soul, I'm making an investment in eternity. The Bible says this about our bodies. Our body is like a temporary container. Sometimes we think of containers and we think of like those plastic things with the lids that always get lost that we put in the cupboard and then somehow maybe they go somewhere with that one sock that we've taken down to the laundry. I don't know. Maybe that's just in our place. Right? Those Tupperware containers. You familiar with Tupperware? Ziploc's got stuff now. Right? Our body's like Tupperware. We come in all different sizes and shapes like Tupperware. Right? The container we put the stuff in. Some of us are going to tremendous lengths in order to make our Tupperware look better. Or at least different. We modify our Tupperware. Some of you pay to have your ware taken off of your tupper. But it's interesting because you can lose part of your body. You can have an organ transplant. You can take something from the inside. You can take an organ out of your body, but it doesn't change your soul. You're still you. Your soul is part of what defines you. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, "Therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Therefore, we live by faith and not by sight." When I connect with God, when I make that refueling connection, I'm not only accessing power and guidance and need and recognize I have need of every day, but I'm also making an investment in eternity where my real and final home is. Is what you are doing, building, gathering, collecting, or achieving going to matter for eternity? None of these things most likely are going to last. But when you take time to refuel and you take time to connect your soul with God, you're making an investment for eternity. That's the why. What about the how? What if we bring in the how? How is this going to work in my life? How do I actually do this? How do I deepen my soul? How do I actually make God a more integral part of who I am? How do I make soul filling a part of my life? Let's consider something for a moment. Would there be more or less of us here who could say that we take time daily, you don't have to raise your hand, that we take time daily to refuel at God's pump? Here's what I believe, regardless of what that number actually would be. I believe that we want to. I believe that we're people who want to, but we struggle with that. Why? Because we're busy. Now, I'm not bringing this up to lay some guilt trip on us or some condemnation or to be legalistic. That's not it at all. What I want to do, though, is challenge us. What I want to do is encourage us to do something different. I'm going to challenge you that if you're part of that 80% perhaps, maybe that's what the number would be, that you would have a daily time that you make that decision to reconnect to an almighty God. I want to challenge you to change something about your system. Just do something different. Stop doing what isn't working. And don't beat yourself up over past. Don't ever forget that God has an enemy, and that enemy wants to destroy you, and that enemy wants to destroy your soul. I want to give you something to help beat this. I think everybody in here can do this, and we can start today. The first thing is, stop. I almost showed a video clip of something that I'd seen, but it was too complicated for me to pull it off of the thing. Just stop. Stop that. If it hasn't been working for you, it's time for something different. Let's change and try something different. How about if that first thing is we just stop? Every day, just take a moment and hit the pause button. I don't have a specific period of time to recommend to you. Just hit the pause button long enough that you can think about how God is fitting in your plan that day. It sounds easy, but it's not, especially when you're busy. But here's the point. For your soul to be nurtured, you've got to stop. You can't refuel on the run. Have you ever tried to do that with your car or your scooter? Fill me up, please. It just doesn't work. As much as we'd like to do a drive-by gas station filling and go poof, we're just magically filled to the top. It doesn't work that way. You can't refuel spiritually by staying on the run, but busy people struggle with stopping. I recognize that. But I'm still asking us to stop, pause, take a moment. Stop your body. Stop all the activity. Stop the madness, one would say. Stop your mind from the tasks and those infamous to-do lists. Just stop. This may take some practice because we've been conditioned to keep going. For some, this might mean that you stop taking work home. Oh my. But you don't understand. I do. Just stop. Stop the phone. Stop the presses. Stop the email, the text, the Facebook, the stuff that takes the you out of the presence of you. Stop. Do you ever feel like you're present in body, but you're so not there? All of us. Stop. Two. The second thing we can do. We stop and then be quiet. What? Be quiet. Listen. To be refueled, quiet or silence is the equivalent of air and water for our soul. Sometimes we have to stop and we just have to be quiet. Because that's what our soul needs. Silence is an important ingredient in the life of spiritual growth. We live in a world where too often noise has become the constant. And yet sometimes in this world of noise, silence becomes deafening. That's twisted. Some of us can't handle the silence because we become so conditioned to the noise. I need the noise. I need that noise. Think about it. You woke up this morning to what? Noise. It was your alarm. Or young kids. You turn on music, there's more noise. You turn on the TV, there's more noise. You get in your car and you turn on more noise. You go to work and you've got noise. You come home and there's noise. Especially when you have a four-year-old. Daddy, daddy, daddy. There's human noise trying to compete with electronic noise. It's noise. You've got Tupperware noise. How many have Tupperware noise? You know what I'm talking about? You've got everything happening in your house, and you just want to get away from that noise, so you go outside to get away from the noise, and then you put on more noise. Then you go to bed, and you can't fall asleep, so you play more noise. We've convinced ourselves we need this noise. Do you know there's been research and great amounts of money spent to produce noises that actually get people to spend more money in stores, stay longer to shop, eat quicker so we can get more customers in to your table? Spend more money? I'm not sure what degree program that would be going or something like that. Let me throw a radical thought at you. What if at some point every day you actually, are you ready? I know this is radical. This is, breathe. Here it comes, ready? Shut your phone off. I don't see anybody hitting the floor yet, but right? What if you did that just once during the day? I know sometimes people shut their email down and then go to it only a certain time. And then what if you shut your phone off? John Maxwell in his book, thinking for a change makes mention of the value in scheduling time every day just to think. Just to have a moment of silence, just to think. He schedules it like it's an appointment in his day. What if we were to schedule every time, every day, to stop and to be silent and just to listen? No extra noise. Just listen. Why? Well, because God often speaks in those times of quiet. Now, he can speak in the storm. But do you want a storm? Or do you want some silence? Do you want some quiet? Do you want some rest? Not long ago, I shared 1 Kings 19 and the struggle that Elijah had when the false prophets of Baal were challenging God. And Elijah was saying, no, there's only one true God. And they had this battle of the gods, if you will. And we know the outcome. If you know that story, it's an amazing story. But the one true God won decidedly. The outcome of the battle was clear. But after this battle, it's interesting, we see what Elijah goes through, and we pick up on that in this portion of the text in chapter 19, verse 11. God says, go out and stand before me. Here's Elijah saying, God, where are you? Here, I've done this for you. My life was at stake. I took this risk for you, and yes, you showed up, but now I'm desperate for you. Where did you go? I don't feel your presence. I don't see you anywhere. Go out, stand before me on the mountain, the Lord says. As Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast, the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. The gentle whisper was where God was. Other translations will say it's that still, small voice. Would you be able to hear that still and small voice in the busyness of your day? If God were to say something to you in a quiet whisper, would there be too much noise? I wonder in my own life how many times I've missed the voice of God because I let in too much noise. So much noise. It's a challenge to just stop and be quiet. I came across a Benedictine monk quotation. It says this, before we can listen, before we can truly hear the word of God addressed to our hearts, the spirit and practice of silence is essential. Silence for the monk is not a rejection of the neighbor, but rather a recollected attentiveness to what lies at the heart of reality once all the noisy clutter of daily life is cleared away. Only one who has learned how to be silent, who has learned how to go beyond the noise from inside and outside of himself, will be able to hear the cry of others as well as the call. If you want to refuel, let me ask if you would be able to stop and just be quiet. I'm not saying you've got to go to extremes or that you have to become a Benedictine monk. I'm not saying never use your phone. I'm not saying turn off all things electric. That's not the point. The point is something has to change. It's got to be something that's different, because if what hasn't been working for us in the past isn't working for us today, is most likely not going to work for us in the future. So what then has to change? If you're empty, perhaps it's time to stop, to listen, and to make a connection with God. Connect with God. If there's any generation in the history of all of humanity that understands connection, it's our generation. We're wired and have so many ways of being connected. Texting, messaging, emailing, phoning, Skyping, Instant Messenger, Facebook, iChat, FaceTime, Tango, WhatsApp, Kakao. And the list could go on and on and on. And no, I don't participate in all of those, but I do participate in some. Maybe some of that has gone on even during the service today. We've got to stay connected. We got to stay connected. Connection, it's what I'm asking you to do just for a little bit of your time. Just pause the outer connections so that you can make the inner connection. Where? To God. The connection is essential to getting filled up. If you make this connection, our life will be different. Our life will be unique. It's going to be one of a kind. It's going to be significant. It's going to go deeper and more soul nourishing and nurturing, which is what it means. This connection can happen in many different ways, but when you make that connection, the connection will then beg three questions. When, where, and what? This is as practical as it gets. It's just the rubber meets the road. It's the brass tacks. It's the end of the line. It's the bean counter's bottom line, right? It's what's at the bottom line. No offense to the bean counters in the crowd. Right? What's the bottom line? When, where, what? If I'm going to make a connection with God, if I'm going to make it a daily habit, here's what I've got to do. I've got to come up with a when. I've got to come up with a when. When am I going to happen? Schedule it into your daily calendar. When am I going to take time to stop? When am I going to be quiet? When am I going to make that connection? There are no rules for the when. Just make sure there's a when. When will it be? You have to have a when. Settle on the when and then stick to the when for a few weeks until it becomes a habit. Next, where? Where is it going to be? Where will your place be? Where will you take yourself that's free from distractions, that's free from noise? Where will that place be where you don't have to worry about the phone and you don't have to worry about the email? Where will you spend that moment? Third, what? What are you going to do? In the electronic world that we live in, we use tools to connect with other people. What tools, perhaps, will you use to connect to God? Is it prayer, your Bible, a devotional, or journal? There are different tools that you can use in this part, in the what. What will work for you when you're connecting to God? Notice I haven't said anything about the length of the time. That's between you and God. That's up to you. What time period do you want to use? If you're part of the 80%, you're not spending much time, if any, with God. How about 2 minutes? Would 2 minutes wreck your day? How about starting with 2 minutes to just be quiet and make that God connection? Don't worry about the time effect. Take care of the when, the where, and the what. As we wrap up this morning, can I give you some even more practical ideas? Some of you may say, but can you just tell me what? Give me the tools. Let me throw some at you this morning as we close. Here's a simple Bible reading plan. If you are struggling with a Bible reading plan, here's something you might consider. Today is November 23rd. Today, you would read Psalm 23. Tomorrow will be November 24. Tomorrow, you read Psalm 24. When it's December 1st, you read Psalm 1. Simple. You don't have to remember much more than just what day it is. Second idea, do you have a daily devotional? Nothing is to replace God's Word, but a devotional can come alongside of that and help. Do you have a daily devotional? Maybe you could consider one. My favorite is Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, in today's modern language. And those of you that know the other one, it's really hard to follow. Another devotional is really easy to follow. In fact, we provide it for you every quarter. And if you don't have one and you want one, please see Youngie and we'll get one in your hands because we give them to you every quarter. Our Daily Bread. Pick one of them up today as our gift to you because we love it. How about memorizing the 23rd Psalm? Memorizing Scripture. This is a good one to memorize, and I'll tell you why. Because if you memorize it, or just write it down, or open to it in your Bible and put it alongside your bed, when you get into bed at night, read it, the 23rd Psalm. Read it from the paper that you've written down, or say it like a prayer. Let that be your night's prayer tonight, when you lay your head down on your pillow. I'm asking you to refuel by considering three simple things. To stop, to be quiet, and to make a connection. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, and you will find rest for your souls. These are Jesus' words that are penned in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Do you need that rest? Does your soul need to be nourished? Can you see yourself doing some of these things? Does it seem possible for you? Does it seem practical enough for you? Do you see yourself being filled up or being topped off daily? To be filled, to be filled, to be filled. Can you imagine with me our souls and how they would thrive and be alive if we were to top them off daily? How might your life be different? How might things start to change? How might your pace be different? Your priorities? The way that you treat other people? The way that you feel about yourself? The way that you feel about God? As Paul said to the church, I want you to be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. What if you were filled in that way, as it says in Ephesians 3? I can see it. I can see it for all of us. I can see it for this church. As we make progress toward being a more spiritually mature church and people who follow Christ, perhaps we change those percentages. Perhaps we take that number, whatever that number is, and we become more like people who take daily time with the connection. I know we can do this. I know that we can make the time to stop, to be quiet, and have that connection with God. That's an investment for eternity. And that is worth paying for at the pump. Would you pray with me?
Amen.
Lord, thank you for your word, and I pray in Jesus' name that you seal it to our soul. Lord, that you would let it grow, that you would let it flourish, so that our soul, our spirit would prosper and thrive in Christ. Lord, help us to be a people who are alive in you. We find our rest in you, our strength in you, our joy in you. Help us, God, to just take these very practical steps to stop, to be quiet and listen, to make that connection with you in Jesus' name.